Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelia, along with Herb Tyler, we're here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road, here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and see us. They'll have the doors open at 11 o'clock and start serving. And, man, you can watch all the football games this afternoon here at Acme. They got great food and drink specials, and so come on by. Great service, and we'll have Jason on with us, who runs a place here, talk to us a little bit about what's happening. And we will also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. Map Bill, Bill Beyond, always great to take care of us here in Baton Rouge. Herb, I guess the luster has been taken off a lot of these bowls if you're not involved in that final 12.
And yep.
Man, the last 2 weeks, I know doing sports talk, we've talked much more about the transfer portal than the Texas Bowl. I think I might have got one call about the Texas Bowl. Everything else is about the transfer portal. So it goes to show how things have changed in college football today. And it's a different look team than how LSU ended this season. You won't see Campbell at left tackle.
Nope.
Will's coming out early for the draft. Same thing with Emory Jones at the right tackle position. Garrett Dellinger will sit out this game. He's had that tightrope surgery on his ankle, and he's preparing for the NFL draft. He has been invited to the Senior Bowl. We'll see if he shows up in Mobile. Kyron Lacy from Thibodeau doing the exact same sort of thing. Won't play in the Texas Bowl, but is expected to play in Mobile, and Mason Taylor, the tight end. So, man, you got five key pieces that won't be there going up against a Baylor team. And we talked a little bit about it with Ian before, starting up here, is that, man, Baylor, they got off to a 2-4 start. And I thought Dave Aranda was going to be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
And then he peels off six straight wins. Now, you don't associate high-powered offense with Dave Aranda, but they are averaging 41 points a game scored over the last 6 weeks. Now, they've given up 27, so, you know, if that's the case, then that's why you're winning. You kind of tsunami-ing everybody. Their offense has really rolled the past few weeks to end the season. Sawyer Robertson, who's a really good quarterback for him, he's completed almost 63% of his passes, 26 touchdowns, but what jumps out at me, only 7 interceptions. So he's not turning the ball over. They got a nice 1-2 punch at running back with Bryson Washington, who's averaging 5.9 yards a carry. And Dawson Pendergrass, he's the number two guy. He's averaging 6.1.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, I expect if you took the over today, you might be better off, because I don't think either one of the defenses are going to stop one another. And Baylor is just trying to outscore you.
That's right. So, you know, to touch on what you were talking about first, which was the bowl game schedule and what that looks like and how it's kind of obsolete right now, these, you know, bowls, everything that's outside the college football playoffs, it's important to the teams that are there and the fan base that are watching their teams that are in those bowl games. But it's still not, one of these things where people were looking forward to these bowl games. Now we're looking forward to the bowl games where I am, because I want to see those younger players who are going to play, because, you know, a couple, few years ago is where the elite players were, you know, I'm going to sit out. I'm going to start sitting out. And we're talking, what, almost 8 years ago now, 9 years.
You know who might have been the first one to do that? Christian McCaffrey.
That's right.
Christian, at Stanford.
Well, Christian, and I think, didn't Leonard was one.
Leonard also.
As well was one. So I remember, you know, that happening, and that started a little bit of a trend, and people were upset. But like Cam Ward said the other day, I paid the first half, not the second half. It's a business decision. I don't expect you to understand.
And he's still taking heat for it.
But at the end of the day, it was an agreement that he and his coach went into before the game. So it's okay at the end of the day. But ultimately, the bowl games are still there for the younger guys who have an opportunity to play an extended game after the season is over and be rewarded for a fantastic season of at least getting 6 wins throughout the season. So that being said, we go into this Texas Bowl, and you have LSU, who's going to be missing 5 guys on defense. You're going to be missing five guys on offense, 1 or 2 guys on defense, one being Major Burns. That's going to be a bit of a challenge for LSU as well. But ultimately, you give these younger guys an opportunity to come in live action on a neutral field, playing against a really good coach team in Baylor from coached by Dave Aranda, who we know is going to give a great defensive game plan, and he's going to mix it up because he don't have the talent that he always would have at LSU to play man-to-man and run with everybody and let's go and blitz and all this other stuff. Now he's going to be coming from all sorts of angles and areas from the field. And then on top of that, you compile that with a really decent offensive game plan. Like you said, they're averaging 41 points a game. Now let's go down the tail of the schedule: Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, TCU, West Virginia, Houston, and Kansas were those six wins at the end of the season. Now, when you look at those six wins, you got about two or three teams in that sprinkling that could have beat them, but the other teams, I think they really were a much better team then. But ultimately, you come into this game today, and it's anybody's game. I don't think that it's going to be a for sure Baylor win. I don't think it's going to be a for sure LSU win, but what I do think is going to happen is we're going to find out who are the guys that's going to be leading the LSU Tigers into the 2025 season and who's going to be the guys that's going to be available for them that's going to maturate during this offseason and who's going to have some promise after this game today.
Yeah, and you're moving Miles Frazer from the guard position. Now you're moving him out to tackle.
Yep.
And we're getting to see Tyree Adams. We saw a little bit of him during the season. He's going to be the left tackle to replace Will Campbell. DJ Chester, I think this may be the last game you see him at center.
Yeah.
Because, you're recruiting these, transfer portal guys.
Yeah.
You know exactly what's going to happen. DJ is going to be moved back to guard. Mm-hmm. DJ had never played center before until they gave him a shot there. He struggled with it. And then, you got the redshirt freshman in Paul Mabinga.
Yep.
He struggled also being in the lineups. And we're going to get to see Weston Davis, who has played some right tackle, also some right guard.
Mm-hmm.
And Bo Bordelon also will play at the guard position. So a lot of new faces up front. So you know what that tells me? If I'm Garrett Nussmeier, man, I'm getting rid of that football fast.
Getting rid of the ball fast, or you're going to slide right, left, get out of the pocket, one of the two.
My thing is, it ain't going to be 1-2 throw. It's going to be one throw. It's going to be quick. I think this is also a big game for a guy that, he missed so much of the season. That's Chris Hilton Jr. Because Chris came into the season with a lot of promise. At Manning Passing Academy, I talked to Garrett Nussmeier, and he told me, he said, your guy, Kyron, man, he's going to be the guy for us this year. But I'm really looking forward to working with Chris Hilton because he brings that speed element to the table. And even when he came back, Herb, he struggled kind of high-pointing the ball in flight. He was jumping too fast. He wasn't running to the ball. But then we saw him make a couple of great catches late in the season. So it's big for Chris to build upon that. And Tre'Davious Green, who they moved to wide receiver, now they kicked him back to tight end because of transfer portal losses and not having Mason Taylor.
Well, you look at Chris Hilton's season or the little bit of what we got to see, you can understand why he wasn't, in, I guess, the top tier level of playing at the moment when he came in, because he was out forever, if you can think about it. And then it's almost like watching a little kid get an opportunity to get in and start playing around with the bigger kids. He's going to show any and everybody that he can do any and everything that he can, but not just playing the game and not doing what he knows how to do. And that's just run the routes, go catch the football, make touchdowns. He was, like you were saying, his struggles with high pointing the football, I think it's just anxiousness and wanting it too much and not allowing it to come to him and then just make the play. And so when you talk about him, this game being an opportunity to kind of be a catapult for him moving into the next season, it's going to be awesome for me to see this. Now, Garrett's going to need some time to get him the ball, and Chris is going to have to do a really good job of running clean, crisp routes and just giving a little bit of a window for Garrett to have anticipation to get the ball to him and not have to wait and pat the football and then hope that he's open by 2 yards, if that makes sense. Now, the other thing on the other side of that is when you talk about Green coming down as a tight end, I think that's a phenomenal opportunity for Green to be able to show what he can do. Now he's not coming in, off the bench. He's going to be a starter. He's going to be asked to do things that he wasn't asked to do throughout the year. And let's see exactly what this guy can bring to the table. Now you talk about Zay Thomas and then Aaron Anderson.
Aaron's the guy. I think if I'm Garrett, I trust him. I trust him.
I actually trust all of them, to be honest with you. The one thing, the reason why you trust Aaron so much is because he's the comeback player of the year, whatever you want to call it, most improved and all this other stuff, and he's going to be one of your guys moving forward. But you got Chris on that other side who I think you can make some stuff happen. And then Zay Thomas also can be your guy that you get to the ball, get the ball in space and let him make some moves and see what can happen. Now, ultimately, it's going to be fun to watch this new group come in and work together for the first time. But it's going to be difficult. It's not going. I don't think it's going to be pretty at first because of the way that the offensive line is going to be shuffled. Now, ultimately, you also want to see what this offensive line is going to do when it comes to the run game. Because that's been the part or a weakness, if you will, this entire season, is that everybody's been complaining about the run game. Now, you know, you have Caden Durham who came on the scene and really made a big splash. But, you know, your guy Williams is the guy. You know, he's the one that's going to be the workhorse, the chop the tree down guy. He's going to be the guy to get the football constantly today, I think, and it's going to be important for him to play well and to be a leader on this team.
One of the guys we had talked about before the season, Caleb Jackson, he's sort of been in the witness protection agency this year. He hadn't done a lot. And I'll be honest with you, I thought I would see his name in the transfer portal real quickly, and it hasn't. So for him, I think you'll get some opportunities. I agree with you on Josh because of the fact he's a senior, and he has stuck around. And, okay, he's not the biggest. He's not the fastest. He's not the quickest. But, man, he gives you everything he's got on every play. You know what Caden can do, man, because he has shown that he's got an extra gear out into the open field. And he runs better in between the tackles than I think maybe we thought. Caleb's the guy that we thought would be a much bigger part of this offense, and it didn't work out.
So when you look at Caleb, you're looking at a guy who's still young, who's still learning, who's trying to come into his own. And I think that there was a lot of pressure on him early to be successful. And so now he's had an opportunity to sit back, watch, say, okay, how do I handle myself like a professional or a professional college player? And that's watching Josh. That's watching Caden, who's a true freshman, who is mature beyond his age. And so I think that Caleb, this is a great game for Caleb to get about 6 to 7 carries, show what he can do, go into the offseason, get his body right, get his mind right, and learn the offense. Actually learn what he's supposed to do on the blocking schemes as well as run schemes and pass route running, things of that nature. And I think Caleb can be the guy to have a breakout year next year because it's going to be Caden, Caleb, and then you throw in the Harlan Berry next year who can be phenomenal, but we don't know yet. Because he's going to be a true freshman, 5-star, all of that. But I think Harlem is going to be a guy that they're going to try to get the ball to. But I think Caleb can come into the spring season and really make a name for himself and come out of the spring as a important piece of the puzzle that can help LSU become great in the run game.
And I think we'll have a little bit more clarification to what happens with Trey Holly.
So that's the interesting thing about that, right?
There's some things happening. None of us really know for sure.
No.
We think he'll be back, but that hasn't been clarified.
No, they got some small little things that they're trying to iron out, and it's kind of been like pushed back, what we call in the construction world, pushed to the right, meaning it's going to
I know that phrase.
Yeah, and we don't like that phrase at all.
No, at all.
But that, I think that's something that can be important. If Trey can come back, man, think about that backfield. You got Harlem, Caden, Caleb, and Trey. All guys that's going to be around the same age that can be phenomenal, you know, at the end of the day.
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. We're here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Doors open up at 11 o'clock. We'll be back with more of our Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break.
Did this, y'all gonna have to
swear. We're back here on the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike to tell you along with the legendary Herb Tyler here.
Legendary.
How about that? We even got Ian Hoke to say that too. How about that?
That's Herb? Right.
So that's $2 for me I get today. Getting off
for $4,
that.
That's
$4. Okay, I'll take the $4.
That's right.
And we also want to thank Map Construction. They do a great job each and every week in sponsoring our show here. Our naming sponsor, Map Construction. And Herb knows all about MAP. So you can give Herb a call if you need some work done at MAP Construction. He'll take care of that for you. We have with us from Acme Oyster House, Jason Guilfour. Jason's a Bayou guy. Now, that name kind of threw you off, we'll let him explain everything. But, Jason, man, you've taken care of us really well over the last couple of years.
Absolutely.
We really appreciate it. And, you know, this place has certainly grown, but I know one of the things we had talked about before, and probably it's 2 years, in the catering business.
Mm-hmm.
That's something y'all had not been involved with, and then all of a sudden, bow, man, y'all catching it now, right?
That's right. That's right. Good morning. Happy to have y'all here, as always.
Yes.
So you're absolutely right, Mike. The catering that's revolved around LSU and the tailgating there has just been phenomenal. The explosion of it all. It's been something to keep up with, and we're happy to have that problem.
Yeah, it's better than not having it.
That's right.
Also, too, you guys also involve, if it's like what I call an event, if it's Thanksgiving, if it's Christmas, yep. New Year's, a lot of times, you know, we live in that world today, and I didn't grow up in it, but we live in that world today where, man, I don't want to cook no more. And so if you need it from the seafood standpoint or whatever, you guys also take care of that very, very well.
Oh, we do. And just the other day, in fact, I had a call early in the morning. This fellow was in a bad spot, needed some seafood gumbo for 15 people. In a couple of hours, he was here picking it up. Just good to go. All the fixings, fed the whole family. Everybody was happy.
Okay, so if they want something for New Year's Day, they better call now.
That's right. That's right. We're taking orders right this moment. Let's go.
That's right.
I remember, I think it was the Alabama game. Man, I looked around. I didn't see you. And somebody said, no, Jason's running the truck. They're running back the tailgate stuff. So that was a great deal. Also, I think Ole Miss, that was another big game for y'all.
Oh, what a day. Yeah. What a day.
That was fantastic. That was big with it. How long has Acme been here in Baton Rouge?
Been here in Baton Rouge for 16 plus years now.
Yeah, okay.
So happy to make it another 16.
The crazy part about it is I didn't know that until the new boss lady took over and she came with us and talked. And she was like, Mike, we are just not in Louisiana. And realized Alabama.
That's right.
And all, kind of all over. So
that's right.
Acme has branched out that particular way.
Absolutely. And, you know, people all along the Gulf Coast understand our food. They understand our flavor profile, and they're looking for us.
How long have you been with Acme?
Oh, just a few years now.
Gotcha.
And I have to say...
But you've been in the food business for a few years.
For many, many years
at
this point. Almost 40 years now.
Wow.
But Acme has been great. That's the whole thing. The culture of Acme is what makes Acme great, and that's why I'm here.
Well, and you can see it extends through your staff as well.
Absolutely.
Here, you know. So.
And they take great care of it. And I kind of watch. Because Luke and I get here real early, and we'll see how well.
Whoa, what do you mean? I don't get here early?
You don't get well, you get here early if you compare yourself to A-Bear.
Right,
but, I mean, you're not here like an hour ahead of time. But they do a great job. I see how they handle everybody here when they come in and always attentive to the particular tables. And so that you don't get that everywhere.
That's it. It's family.
No. And you know what else? What I noticed, you know, I'm kind of in the position that you're in with my group. And the camaraderie that you get when you see them sitting at tables together and the conversations and the laughter and the faces and the smiles and all of that stuff, that's important for me to see because I like to sit in the corner and watch that whenever we have meetings and things like that because that tells me that, hey, this group is one, right? There's no individuals, nobody sitting here, there, and other places. They're all together and they're talking about whatever. It don't have to be anything to do with the business.
Oh, that's right. That feeling of family and joy, it's contagious and it transcends.
That's right. That's right. And you can see that here all day long, every day.
Oh, thank you.
One of the things, too, is this is a place, and I've heard some people, they'll come up and say, man, I heard y'all talking about it on WWL radio. You know, we hear from Auburn, we hear from Arkansas.
Yeah.
And they'll hear it, and they'll say, man, we had to stop here. And the fact what Tiger Stadium's, a little over a mile from here, so you're not that far away from Tiger Stadium. But you get a lot of visitors, so to speak, coming to the LSU game, and if it's from Ole Miss or Auburn or Arkansas, wherever, they stop here.
You know, that's one of the great things about working for Acme. It's the folks that are coming in.
Yeah.
They're coming here to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
They're walking in with cheer. And that's contagious on the other end, too. And so it just works out. It's a fun place to be.
Yeah. What's your favorite dish here that you like to get? What's your go-to?
Ooh, that would have to be the lima beans, and I like to top mine with some fried shrimp.
All right, lima beans and fried shrimp.
That's right.
I like it. Okay, that wouldn't have been a pick that I would have thought he made, but he's a bayou guy, okay?
That's right.
So we give him a little pass, and I.
Here's the thing. You come to Acme, do you think you're going to get lima beans, though, right?
Right.
So that's a whole nother deal in itself. It's like we can surprise you with many different types of dishes that you wouldn't think you would get here.
Oh, that's it. You know, we really have all the ingredients in-house to do it fancy if that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to put some etouffee on top of your redfish and then top that with some lump crab meat or a soft shell crab, we're happy to do all of that.
Wow.
But for me, I like the lima beans.
I like it. So you can kind of make some adjustments to your already standard meals is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
So add-ons.
All right, that's Jason, I know you grew up in the Thibodaux area. The Guilfoyle last name. Now, I would think you're trying to pass as a bayou guy until I heard you talk a little bit. Now, your voice, man, you got a good radio voice. I'm going to be honest with you. I'll take that. Man.
Really close. Well,
How your fam? Yeah, come on. How your family headed to and kind of grew up on the bayou out in the Thibodaux area?
So while my mom's family was originally from New Orleans, my dad's family came over from Spain via the Canary Islands. Mm. And when they came over, they landed in Donisonville. And one way or another, somehow...
They got to Thibodaux.
Well, that ain't a far ride, Donaldsonville.
Oh, that's true.
No, it ain't. Yeah, you're right.
But when they got to the dock, the family, we were assigned that name at the dock.
Okay.
There was some miscommunication along the language barrier that happened there, and the name became Guilfoyle right there, and that was the beginning of the family tree.
Wow, that's
nice.
Everybody's got a little story about certain things, and Bobby was here, Lord, he'd give you the whole detail of how you got that Guilfoyle name, even though he know it or not.
He knows,
he would know it.
That's right.
Jason, thanks so much.
Yes,
we appreciate you joining us this morning, and thank you for everything you've done for us here. You and your staff do a fantastic job, and I know we'll open up the doors at 11 o'clock, and you got so many people that are regulars here, too. I come here a couple times a week. Y'all going to be here after the football season. I don't know. I know the football season we're here, but thank you so much for everything you and your staff do for us here on WWL.
Thank you. We love having y'all.
Yes. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike DeTillia along with Herb Tyler here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike DeTillia along with Herb Tyler here at Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge, 3535 Perkins Road. Want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. Now it's time to go inside the Tiger Den, brought to you by Go Tax Resolution, your Go Tax Resolution team. Go Tax Go on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line covers the Baylor Bears for the Waco Tribune Herald, Zach Smith. Zach, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Happy to be here. Happy to talk about some football. I'm looking forward to one final game.
There you go. I was telling this to Herb that, man, to start the season, you know, I got to know Dave when he was here at LSU. And boy, I see, you know, a 2-4 start. I was like, he might be in some trouble there.
That's right.
And then the wheel off 6 straight wins. But it was really built on the offensive side of the ball. How big of a surprise was that? Because you got great production from your quarterback and Sawyer Robertson and Bryson Washington and Dawson Pendergrass.
Yep.
It's kind of be a receiver by committee with then distributing the football a lot to a lot of different people like Josh Cameron, Ashton Hawkins, Hal Presley, and a guy I know a lot about, Michael Trigg at tight end. You know, Mike, highly recruited guy, goes to USC and ends up at Ole Miss and then is with Baylor. So how surprised were you with that, man, to peel off 6 straight wins like that and really to make this season sort of special for Dave? If he can win today, especially against LSU.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the season-ending winning streak was certainly surprising. Like, it kind of, like you said, they were kind of dead in the water to start the year. And to end the way they did is fantastic. And that was frankly surprising. But the offense itself and the production and all the numbers and everything, like, I kind of expected that. They brought in Jake Spavital. He was the former head coach at Texas State. He coached Johnny Manziel, all that fun stuff. And so they kind of revamped the offense back in January, and they knew what they had. They knew they had the pieces to put everything together, and it was just a matter of time. It took six games for them really to put everything together, and obviously you've seen once it did come together, man, it is hard to stop. And you went down the list. It is, you know, it's not like Sawyer Robertson is a key. Bryson Washington is a key. The offensive line is a key. There are so many names on this offense that can beat you, and that's what makes them so dangerous and consistent. And it's just, man, it has been so much fun to watch. But to answer your question, you know, I am not really surprised at the production of this offense just because of the pieces that they had and kind of what they showed. Even early on in the spring, they knew what they had, and it's just kind of coming to fruition right now.
Zach, Mike and I talked about the, I guess, lack there of luster, if you will, with the bowl games and things of that nature that's happening now with the playoffs and all this other stuff that's going on. What's the energy in the locker room, you think, in the Baylor locker room going into this Texas Bowl against LSU today?
I mean, it's high. This is, you know, I went to Michigan State, so I was around the Michigan State football program back when Mark D'Antonio had them going to bowl games all the time. And it felt like back then, bowl games were a big deal. And that's what it kind of feels like for Baylor right now. This team is so happy to be here. They are so, like, motivated to win this game, you know. You've got to look really big picture. Go back to last year. At the end of last year, they won three games. Vibes were low. The offense couldn't, you know, move the ball. The defense couldn't stop anyone. And so they just completely just, they wanted to, they were out to prove that was kind of a fluke. And so to do what they did this season and end the season as strong as they have, like, this group is, the vibes are high, the motivation is high, and they are just so happy to be here. You want to talk about opt-outs? There have not been many opt-outs at all. Maybe one player that plays part of the time has entered the transfer portal. Everybody else is playing for Baylor. So this is a full squad, and they are raring to go for this bowl game.
I know you kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, Zach, but talk to us a little bit about the difference between the start of the season and what do you think was the thing that clicked with this team, coaching staff or organization, whatever you want to call it, program, that really turned it around for them? I know you talk players and things like that, but, you know, there's always something that's underlying or something that's bubbling underneath the surface that really makes things start to go the right way. What do you think that was for this team?
Yeah, that's been the million-dollar question. We've asked Dave Aranda and the players that plenty over the last 6 weeks or so. But I think that there was just a confidence that came out when they went to Texas Tech. And that game means a lot to Baylor. That's a rivalry game against a rival. Sawyer Robertson, the quarterback, is from Lubbock. He really wanted to go to Tech, but they didn't offer him a scholarship, so I think if you asked him, gave him some truth serum, he was more motivated for that game. And like I said before, they knew what they had. They just hadn't put it all together. So that Texas Tech game, you know, he goes out there, Sawyer Robertson throws five touchdown passes. Baylor scores the most points in the Dave Aranda era, you know, and they really show that confidence that they had, that they hadn't shown for four full quarters, that confidence just came to fruition and it actually happened. So it's hard to quantify what, like, why the turnaround happened and why this streak is happening. But I think that's the best way we can talk about it. Just because, like, they were kind of out in the wilderness, so to speak, for the first six games, and they couldn't put four quarters together. But that Texas Tech game and the confidence that it brought just changed everything.
Zach, one of the things we living in the world now, kind of pay for play, and that's just the way it is in college athletics today. How has Dave Aranda and his staff embraced the transfer portal, because that's a big part of it. At first, Brian Kelly did not embrace it here at LSU at all.
No,
man, he tapped the brake all over the place.
Was he?
And finally, he's come around to the fact that you cannot live without it. You've got to be able to be competitive in the transfer portal to get some of the pieces when you're going to lose, especially like with LSU. They lose a lot of people early to the NFL draft. How was Dave Aranda and his staff and also the money people at Baylor reacted to the NIL transfer portal era of college sports?
Man, it is a fascinating time to be in college athletics at this point. But that's one thing I give Dave Aranda a lot of credit for. And like I'm sure you said, you know Dave Aranda, he was at LSU. He is brutally honest. Like he is one of the most honest coaches that I, like he'll tell it how it is, whether it's good or bad. And so he was very upfront with his shortcomings with the transfer portal and NIL over the last really 3 years or so. And so I think that he has this year kind of gone back into his defensive coordinator thing, defensive coordinator mindset, and kind of let kind of the NIL GM. They brought in an NIL GM and they hired a bunch of people that focus on NIL and the transfer portal. So Dave Aranda definitely has his fingers in all of these holes, but you know he is letting the people that know how to do it focus on it. And you're seeing Baylor succeed. Like they're certainly not LSU, who last time I checked had the number one incoming transfer portal class, but they're fighting, they're filling holes that they need. They're getting top name recruits. They just got a 4-star edge rusher from Oregon yesterday. So, you know, NIL is not as robust as it is in many of the SEC schools at Baylor, but I think that the Baylor like donors, they want to put their money in the smart spots. And I think Dave Aranda and specifically the other people that are kind of running NIL and the transfer portal for Baylor really are doing a good job of picking out the good pieces to go find. So, you know, yes, I think Dave Aranda has completely changed his tune from just a couple years ago on NIL and the transfer portal, and Baylor is better off for it.
When you think about Big 12 play, you think about, you know, a lot of high scoring offenses, but defense, matzo on that particular part. And that, no matter how you change the teams, that's kind of how you look at the Big 12 today with the teams playing, that, you know, you trying to outscore the other team and you maybe get a turnover here or there defensively. Is that basically what you've seen all year long from watching in the Big 12?
Yeah, yes and no. I think that there's a little bit more of the defense in the Big 12 is not as bad as it once was. But especially when it comes to Baylor, yes, because Baylor's offense has been pretty much unstoppable for most of the season, really. And its defense, which is being led by Dave Aranda for the first time since he got here, has been a bit shaky, and that's where you've seen them go out and fill spots in the transfer portal and whatnot, is to fix that bit of a leaky defense. So when it comes to Baylor, absolutely, like it is very throwback Big 12, where, you know, they're scoring a lot of points, like I said, against Texas Tech, but they're also allowing a lot of points. So that makes for entertaining games, at least. And luckily, Baylor's offense has been able to just kind of outscore their opponents. So, yeah, it's fun.
Give us a name of a guy, if you're not familiar with Baylor, and say, watch this guy today. I think this is going to be a huge game for him. And we know a lot, certainly, about Sawyer Robertson. But is there another guy out there for LSU fans that you would say, hey, watch out for this guy?
I'm going to give you two because they're a package deal on the defensive side of the ball. From what I understand, LSU's got a lot of opt-outs, and they're going to be missing some players on the offensive line. So Baylor has a pair of middle linebackers, Keaton Thomas and Matt Jones. Both of them have over 100 tackles this season. They're the first Baylor duo to do that since 2012. They are being coached specifically by Dave Aranda, and they play kind of in his image, right? They play like he wants them to play. So Keaton Thomas and Matt Jones are two inside linebackers that I think if Baylor wants to win this game, they're going to need to pressure Garrett Nussmeier, and they're the guys that are going to do it. So those are two guys that I think are going to play a huge role for Baylor today against LSU.
Zach, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Really appreciate it.
And, yes, sir.
Man, we all always keep a close eye on Dave. And what you talked about, him being blunt and to the point, we had a little conversation. He was at Saints camp watching one day, and I was like, man, at least you tell me the truth. Not like these other coaches. And he said, Mike, I'm going to steal your line. How you say that? I grew up in California. And he did it as straight face as could be, and I bust out laughing. He's like, "You get what I'm talking about?" But man, he's great for college football, and yes. I agree with you totally. You talk about a guy that tells you the truth; he does that. So, Zach, thanks so much for joining me this morning, along with Herb Tyler.
I appreciate you having me. Have a great day.
Thanks so much. That was our Inside the Tiger Den segment, brought to you by Go Tax Resolution, your go-to tax resolution team. Go Tax Go. We'll be back to finish it off here in our number one of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break. In our number one of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, Mike Dettelier along with Herb Tyler at Acme Oyster House here in Baton Rouge. Interesting what Zach brought up about the two inside linebackers. He was kind of focused on those guys. And when you think about it, no Garrett Dellinger, and you lose your starting tackles. And we've seen the difficulties at the center position with DJ.
Yeah.
And Mobinga also has had a lot of issues since he's been thrust into the starting lineup. I think that's a really good call by Zach, because I know how Dave uses linebackers, because he'll kind of show you something and then pull out of that right at the last minute to do. I think that is something to watch today, how those two inside linebackers control the flow of the game, not only in the running game, but also getting extra pressure on Garrett.
One of the most intelligent, smart, understanding coaches in college football is Dave Aranda, and especially on defense. This guy knows what he's doing. He's going to put the right players in the right place at the right time to be successful. Now, what happens on the opposite end of the opposite spectrum of that from the offense is what's going to happen. But I can tell you right now, that defense is going to be ready to play, and that defense is going to be licking their chops because they know what LSU has up front. And they know they can be successful with the new makeshift line, if you will, that LSU is going to have. And they're going to be coming after Garrett Nussmeier. And the one thing they know that they've learned over the last 6-7 games from Garrett Nussmeier is if you get him rattled, if you speed everything up, he's going to throw the ball to you, period. And that's going to be a thing. And so I'm thinking that Dave Aranda is really going to put a lot of pressure on him and come from all different kind of sorts of ways and angles. And I think that they're going to focus on stopping the run game as well, because they're going to say, Garrett, you beat us.
Or I agree.
Yeah, because I think they know that he has in the last few games hasn't been successful in doing that.
I think one of the things, and we can talk a little bit about this when we start out in our number two, is mindset. We had Barry Switzer on a couple months back, and one of the things Coach Switzer talked about was the mindset of a college team. It's not a player, but a team.
Yep.
When they're not involved in that final 12, and how seriously they take these games, and how much focus is there. He said that team that you kind of saw at the end of December or beginning of November,
team.
Early December, it's not the same team anymore.
Nope.
But what Zach is telling us is basically the same team for Baylor.
That's what
it's not
saying.
The same for LSU. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelier along with Herb Tyler right after this news break on the Big 870 WWL.